Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, we love you so much. And today, as we continue our worship experience, we pray that we would truly hear the good news. We ask in your name. Amen. Last Sabbath, I gave you a choice. I said, what do you want? Do you want a sermon on good news or do you want a sermon on bad news? And both first service and second service said, we want the bad news first. And I was a little disappointed in you because I really wanted to be able to prove that I could do two sermons on one Sabbath. You did not give me that opportunity. I'll have to bring it back another time. We'll see what we can do. No. So, but the truth is, I would have voted the same way you did. I always like getting my bad news first and then finishing off with something good. So, we are going to talk about the good news today. And to do so, I need to introduce you to this wonderful word right here. It's an ancient Greek word, and it means the gospel or good news. Translated either way, you can translate it the gospel, you can translate it good news. And the original people hearing it would have heard good news. That's kind of what they would have heard out of that Greek word. And I want to show you something really cool. This Greek word is found on this tablet in Priene, Turkey. And it's pretty cool because it's talking about, this tablet is talking about good news. You see, in ancient times when a battle was won, they would send messengers out, kind of the old-fashioned news reporters. They'd go running from the battle. They'd go to the towns, and if your side won, they'd yell, good news, gospel, 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 good news, we've won this battle. We were victorious. But another way that they would do this is if there was the birth of royalty. Like the heir to the throne is born. And they would, again, send out messengers yelling, good news, gospel, gospel, gospel. This word that I showed you earlier, that yell that and let people know in the towns that there was good news. And they would not only do that, but they would inscribe it on stone tablets like this one from Priene, Turkey, letting people know that good news had happened. And on this tablet, you guys are going to know where I'm going with this, but this tablet says that 2,000 years ago, well, it didn't say 2,000 on the tablet, but it says, good news, a baby has been born. 2,000 years ago. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? This tablet says that the gods have sent us a savior. And that tablet says his appearance is the gospel, the good news for the entire world. And that tablet says that by his appearance, he would end war. Gospel. Good news. You all know who I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about Caesar Augustus. Oh, a few of you are deeply disturbed. You are amening that. I would have been too. Yeah, no, that stone tablet announces the birth of Caesar Augustus, born over 2,000 years ago. And that stone tablet says that he is sent by the gods as a savior for the world. And that stone tablet said that his birth was good news for the entire world. And that stone tablet said, this baby will end all wars and bring peace. And how many times in our own newscast do we hear, finally, this person's going to be the savior of everything. This new invention, this government, if we can only get this group of people out and get this group of people in, then everything will be okay again. And that's basically what the stone tablet is saying. And for those living in Caesar Augustus' time, if you were Roman, that might have actually seemed to be somewhat believable because Caesar Augustus started something that's known as the Pax Romana. And this was this 200-year era in the Roman Empire where there was largely peace within the Roman Empire. There was stability of government. Rome flourished. Now, here's the thing. If you were on the outside of the empire, you might not have felt like it was as peaceful because the Romans went about waging plenty of wars during that time. They crushed their enemies. But inside, everything was good. And so the Roman world hailed this man, Caesar Augustus, as the savior. 2,000 years later, we know that's not the truth. Been plenty of wars since then, haven't there been? Plenty of disturbance in the world, and Caesar Augustus has not really saved anybody around here lately, right? But I want you to understand that the words that were used for Caesar Augustus was, this is good news. This is the gospel. He is this gospel, this good news. And this Caesar Augustus, yeah, he's the same one that's mentioned in Luke 2. You remember in Luke 2 where it says Caesar Augustus ordered that there be a census in the Roman Empire, and that's why Joseph and Mary have to go to Bethlehem? It's that same Caesar Augustus. Now, are you following along with me a little bit? Do you realize what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do? They appropriate the word good news. In other words, Caesar Augustus, the Roman world says, here's your good news, here's your government, it'll save you. Caesar Augustus is the good news. And the gospel writers have the audacity to say, not that guy. Not that government that rules over us. No, no, no. Let me tell you who the real good news is. You see, it's this baby that was born with parents so poor that they had to follow that guy's instructions to go to their hometown. And then this baby is born in bleak circumstances to poor parents. And that baby's going to go on and become the son of a carpenter, meaning he probably learned carpentry as a trade. And he's going to go around as an itinerant preacher. And then this guy's government is going to crucify him. But guess what? That's not the good news. This is the good news. Do you understand how insane that is? They appropriated good news from Caesar Augustus and they labeled it on Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Are you kidding me? That's audacity. Unless it's true. Unless Jesus really is the true good news. Unless Jesus really is the Savior of the world. Unless Jesus really is, by his birth, the good news. Unless Jesus really is ushering in a peace in this world that has never been experienced before. Jesus is the good news. He is. And that story begins a long time before Jesus' birth. Because it begins in Genesis 1 when the world is in chaos. The Bible says that the waters cover the earth and everything is in chaos. And God brings order out of that chaos. In 6 days, God creates everything and everything is absolutely perfect. At the end of the sixth day, God creates the crowning creation. It's human beings created in the likeness of God. He created them, man and woman, he created them. And God creates them in his image. And on the Sabbath, he rests with them and celebrates this perfection that he's created. And then some point later on, Adam and Eve say, you know what? I'd like to be God. I mean, because isn't that what the serpent said at the tree, right? He said, if you eat the fruit, God told you not to eat it. But the reason he did that is because he knows that if you do eat it, you're going to become like him. And Adam and Eve said, that sounds pretty great. Being God sounds pretty wonderful. We're in. We'll go that route. God doesn't know. When he told us not to do this, we can be gods. We're fine. We can do this. That's worked out great. It hasn't, has it? We don't do too good a job at ruling this world. Caesar Augustus has not done that great a job at ruling the world because there's still chaos. There's still death. There's still cancer. There's disease. There's broken relationships. And God said, well, you may have chosen that, but you know what? I'm also going to give you another choice. For this is how God loved the world. And I need you to understand that when the Gospel of John uses the word world, it's not talking about geography. It's talking about people. And John usually contrasts the world with the children of light. So there's the followers of God, and then there's the world. These are the people who aren't following God yet. So are you following along? For God loved people who didn't love him. This is how he loved them. He sent his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. But interesting, Christians have kind of got a little confused. If God didn't send his son in to judge the world, then maybe our job is similar to his son's job, but to save the world through him. God didn't see a lost and desperate world and spit on them and go, how dare you? You knew better. What are you doing? Instead, he sends the best that he has, himself. And he dies for this broken world. The gospel is this. We chose to go away from God, and God said, nope, I'm pursuing you. You can choose to reject me if you want, but it's not because I want you to have any doubt that I want you. If you want to push away, okay, but I'm right here. I love you. Grace. And all God asks is that we have faith that is broken and awful and horrible as we feel, that he loves us and he has chosen us where we're at, as we are. And then as we come into relationship with him, he transforms us through his power, not our own. That's the gospel, friends. That's the gospel. And it is good news. But for whatever reason, we really like to hang on to the gospel of Caesar Augustus. We want that government to fix things. We want that human leader to solve it. And Jesus says this when he's talking to Pilate. He's on trial. He's about to be crucified by the Roman Empire. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. If you think that somehow the bad news that's being reported is going to change, that governments are going to solve things, that somehow this, you are in for bitter disappointment. Jesus' government is not of this earth. For those who want to say, oh, well, we'll create a theocracy, that's not worked out yet. There is only one leader, and that is Jesus. And his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It is a kingdom that lives in the hearts of those who choose him. Amen. It's a kingdom not of force, but a kingdom of choice and a kingdom of love. And Jesus came so that he could live in you. That is the gospel of Jesus. Not a human government to solve things, but his government in your heart, where you love the world around, where you become little mini reporters for Jesus. Going around saying, hey, there's good news. It's changed my life. Good news, good news, good news. I love you. And the reason I love you is not because I'm a great person, but because God loved me first. And if he loved me, I've got to love you. That's why I could walk in here on the first day that I came here and said, I love you, family, go love your world. It's not because I knew you, but I knew that if God made you and I'm loved by God, then I have to love you. Not only do I have to, I get to. I'm privileged to. Jesus' gospel is good news. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And it is a peace, and the peace I give is a gift the world can't give. So don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Anybody walk in here afraid and troubled today? I won't make you raise your hand. Jesus wants you to believe that he can change that. Family, one of the most powerful things that I can tell you is that I did not become a reporter for the good news when I changed from my profession of being a nightly news reporter. I was a reporter for Christ then too. And wherever you are at, you have the responsibility of being one of God's journalists, one of his people putting the good news out there, whether you get paid a salary to do it or whether you are being paid a salary to do something else that gives you the opportunity to share Christ where you're at and where God's called you to be. And I wish I'd really thought about that more deeply before I became a pastor. But can I just tell you, when I became a pastor and I started doing Bible studies, because I kind of had always thought, well, Bible studies are the realm of pastors. But when I started doing Bible studies, I realized, no, firstly, I could have been doing this a long time ago. It doesn't require a specialized degree. It just requires a love for Jesus and a desire to walk with people. And what blew my mind is being able to share the gospel with people and seeing what a change it makes. There's so many of us that have been walking in Christianity so long we forget how much better our life is because of what happened back then. There's some of us who've been raised as Christians in our entire life and we just don't begin to appreciate the peace that we have that is so much different than so many people who haven't experienced it. And that really hit home for me. And I was in a two-church district when I first started getting paid to be a pastor officially. And that was in the Cheney and Upper Columbia Academy churches out in Spokane, Washington. And one day I got a phone call from one of our church members. And she said, Ken, it's this weird thing. We have neighbors. We discover we both all like playing cards. So we have them over about once a week, play cards together. And, you know, we love our church, so we were talking about it, but we didn't really think about inviting them because they're not church people. And then one day they said to us, hey, you keep talking about church. When are you going to invite us? And she said, well, I didn't think you'd want to come. They're like, well, you guys are nice, and you talk about your church, and it sounds nice. Yeah, we're interested in trying it out. We're not saying we're going to do it, but you know, we'd like to try it out once. And so she asked the most important question every church member asks every pastor when this happens. What are you preaching about this Sabbath? Is it safe to bring my friend to church this week? I've told you guys, I have always, as a preacher, tried to make it safe for you to bring. You don't have to call. If you want to call, that's fine. If it makes you feel better, you don't have to call. Every week's a good week. Amen. But Jan said, oh yeah, I know. I've heard you say that before, Ken. But here's the thing. Are you preaching on tithing? I am not. Good, because for whatever reason, every time Dawn shows up, this is her neighbor, shows up at a church, they're preaching about tithing. So he really feels like churches are only interested in his pocketbook. I said, well, I don't think that he'll come away with that impression this week. So they came, they loved it, they stayed, it was wonderful. We did Bible studies with them. And during those Bible studies, for me, it was just this incredible moment where I really saw what happens when somebody really experiences the gospel. For me, it clicked. It finally clicked. Like, I always knew the gospel was good news. Like, yay, you get to go to heaven. You don't. But for me, it was not just what is in the future, but what was in the moment. Because Dawn and Sue changed. I don't mean they weren't bad people before or anything, but what changed was the peace that they had in their life. And I'll let Sue, this is the first baptismal video I ever did, and I've always wanted to do them ever since because it speaks so much to this experience. And this is Sue explaining it to you.
I've always been very, very blessed with wonderful friends, family. I've been lucky. But has always been missing, a turmoil. And it's good now. It is. It's taken a lifetime to find it.
It's taken a lot of time to find it. Can you believe these people are retired? And the good news never came to them. I'm glad it did. But man, I wish they'd had it all along. Great people. Changed their life. You know, seen on the front row, I have Dale. He's one of our online hosts this week. And 4 years ago when I first got here, Dale and I were talking, and Dale was a social media influencer, put a lot of stuff out there on social media. And as we were chatting, he said, "I don't feel good about it though. I don't feel good about it." And on his own, Dale said, "You know what? I am just giving up social media cold turkey," and he did. It's been 4 years he's given it up. And then in the last week or two, he actually got back on TikTok. Why? Because in 4 years, his life has changed. He's reset. And now he's ready to share what's happened in his life over the last 4 years. I want to show you a little clip from one of the first things he put up on social media.
I, you know, have a new peace and a new understanding in Christ. And so I'm more Christ-centered and not world-centered or politics-centered anymore. I'm just not as anxious because I know he's got it.
Amen. Amen. Family, this is what happens when we put the good news out there and allow people to experience Jesus in their time, in their way. Jesus changes things. The gospel changes everything. The true gospel. The gospel of Caesar Augustus will not change things permanently. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not going to change the fact that there's cancer in this world. It's not going to change that there are broken relationships in this world. It's not going to change that there's hurt, that there's pain, that there's suffering. But what it will change is how you are able to handle those things in your life. If you want to hear more stories of people whose lives have been changed, you can always go to our website and check out this page. It's our Whole Life Stories, where we tell the stories of people who've chosen to get baptized or chosen to join this church. And so it's wholelife.church/wholelifestories. Go check it out and tell me that the gospel doesn't make life better, that it doesn't change things for the best. I want to finish by reading this mashup of Bible verses. The where they're found is at the bottom. I'm not going to read where the texts come from. You can write them down if you want to, but I want to mash them up for you a little bit. The Word, Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the bad news, and the bad news can never extinguish it. I have told you this so that you may have peace in Jesus. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. And be sure of this, Jesus is with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the good news. I'd like to introduce to you the two newest people in this church to be baptized and accept that good news.
Julie and I met in 2016 in Richmond, Virginia. We met through some mutual friends, and we fell in love pretty quickly ever since, and been together ever since.
Yes. In 2022, we moved to Brazil to be closer to my family. We tried to find a church there, but Grant didn't speak Portuguese. So that made it a little bit difficult to go to church there. In that time, Graham was watching a lot of Amazing Facts. He really likes Pastor Doug.
So we just used that in Brazil as essentially our church.
Yes.
But we prayed when we were in Brazil that when we came back to the United States, that we prayed that we'd find the right church. Yeah. And I think that we did with Whole Life.
Yes. From the first time that we came to Whole Life, it felt like home to us. I feel like everybody that we met has been so welcoming to us and so nice that really you see Christ in them.
Plus, Whole Life has so many things for our children to do, from adventures and pathfinders. It immediately got us connected with the people of the church, and we have just found friends and feels like family from day one. The opportunity came when we came to Florida that there was a meeting with Pastor Doug in the Florida Keys. So we made the trip with the anticipation of being baptized by Pastor Doug. But the wind was way too strong that day, and so they had to cancel the baptism. So once that didn't work out, we decided that we would impromptu be baptized at the beach.
Yeah.
Well, when we got there, we go out to the ocean, and I look behind me, and a curtain as black as this one is floating over us with thunder strikes and lightning, and knew that there another day would come because right around the corner, we ended up going to church, and I see right in front of me Lake Day, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know there was Lake Day. So let's go. We get there, and then I saw Pastor Ken, and I said, this is it. This is the day. Before we know it, we're in the water getting dunked.
I love Jesus because He has sustained our family in beautiful ways, both here in America and the time that we spend in Brazil with our kids, you know, with our inner family, and between us, our relationship has grown so much for being together with Jesus, mm-hmm. studying the Bible together and learning more and having this beautiful exchange with God. It's a beautiful thing for us, for our family.
I love Jesus so much. He's always there for me. He listens to me. He's my best friend. He's everything. And it goes without saying, it's because He gave His life for us and gave us a way, even though that we don't deserve it, to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. So I love Jesus because He's everything to me.
Grant, I always ask two questions to people before I baptize them. Do you love Jesus? Is it your desire to follow Jesus wherever He leads you? Grant, hearing your confession of faith, it is my pleasure as your brother in Christ to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Woo!
Julie, I have two questions I always ask. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Is it your desire to follow Jesus wherever He leads you? Then, Julia, as your brother in Christ, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That was so awesome. Grant and Juliana are here right now today, and I'll have you stay there. But if you would like them and to welcome them into official membership of the Whole Life Church, would you give a big round of applause? We normally give these gifts on the day you're baptized, but since it was impromptu, here they are now. We love you. We're so proud of you. Thank you. We're so glad you're part of the family. I love you. Go love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.